love the mystery. Your mercy covers me.
We want to begin a short series tonight. And in this series, I'm going to tell you why I'm not a Roman Catholic. A few weeks ago, or maybe a month or so ago, I taught on why I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. And nobody complained about that, but I've heard of several complaints that people from people who would think this is a wrong thing to teach about why I'm not a Roman Catholic. And what I want to do tonight is look at the scriptures. Tonight we're going to especially look at scriptures concerning Mary. And I'm not sure how many parts in this series there will be. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. I'm amazed, by the way, that people who claim to be believers think that, some of them think that Rome is off limits when it comes to scrutiny, and that we shouldn't say a word about it. That baffles me. Look at what it says here. 2 Corinthians 11. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, and we have not preached. Okay, you get that? Another Jesus. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear it with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chief of the apostles. Now, Paul is defending his apostleship here, but he says something very interesting. He says there's another Jesus, there's another spirit, and there's another gospel. We'll be using that as a basis for this series. Another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. In the Greek, the word another Jesus is allos, which means another of the same kind. He looks like Jesus, and you'd think it's Jesus, but he's another Jesus. But he looks just the same. And so Roman Catholic folks will say, we believe in the same Jesus you believe in, do you? I don't believe in the Jesus who becomes a wafer. Excuse me. I don't believe in the Jesus that you can eat and that you can drink his blood. That's another Jesus. Oh, no, but there he was, and he walked the roads of Galilee, and he was virgin born. You see, it's another of the same sort. There's a lot of things they say about Jesus that are right. And then there's another spirit, but that's not allos spirit, that's heteros. You get the word heterosexual, another. It's another of a different type. Allos is another of the same type. Heteros is another of a different type. There's another spirit that can come in. Have you ever met another spirited Christian? There's no grace. There's no love. There's no kindness. There's no mercy. It's just judgment, fighting, strife, contention, gossip, jealousy, striving, struggling. It's another spirit. It's another spirit. And another gospel, heteros. A different kind of gospel. And so, this is the basis for this teaching. Those three, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. I believe, let me say from the outset, I believe that Rome is preaching, it's guilty of preaching another Jesus, and it's preaching by another spirit, and it's proclaiming another gospel. That's one of the big reasons I am not a Roman Catholic. And you say, of course, Miles, you are so extreme, you were raised in the north of Ireland, and this has nothing to do with my heritage. This has nothing to do with my raising. These are conclusions I came to by studying the scriptures. And that is why I am not a Roman Catholic. That's because I believe in the Bible. And I think it's a great shame if you're a believer and you're listening to me tonight and you're a believer and you're committed to the Roman Catholic Church. Then I ask, how can you say that you're trusting Christ alone? You're trusting Christ plus the church. That's another gospel, another Jesus. However, we must move on. It is my belief that in its refusal to submit to God's word as the supreme authority in matters of faith, that the Roman Catholic Communion worships another Jesus and teaches another gospel and is deluded by another spirit. And maybe we'll get into this this one week. We believe in sola scriptura. That means that the Bible is it's the only rule given to direct us how we may glorify God and enjoy Him forever, as the Catechism says. But Rome does not believe that the Bible is the final authority. They say it has authority, but the church is the authority. What we say, yes, you can read the Bible all you like, but you won't know what it means unless you hear it from us, and we can tell you what it means. Because our teaching power is such as our traditions have the authority. But these errors are only the tip of the iceberg. Rome's deceptive practices and ungodly traditions also include the veneration of another Mary. We, from the Reformed background, or Protestant background, we don't use the word Protestant, but believers' background, whatever you want to call it, we respect Mary and we hold her in great esteem. She's blessed among women. Blessed art thou among women. But she's not blessed above women, but among women. And we would not tolerate anybody slandering her or criticizing her. But there's one thing we won't do. We won't worship her. Definitely. And Mary is venerated to the point of worship in the Roman Communion. And the Mary of Catholicism is a twisted distortion of the Mary revealed in the scriptures, who gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. She was the mother to the Lord Jesus Christ, but she also gave birth to James, Joses, Judas, Simon, and sisters. How then is she a perpetual virgin? Rome says she is. Well, how did she give birth to all those people? I was reading in the forum the other day, and this Roman Catholic man, he said, how can you say that she's not a perpetual virgin? Sure, that there's no record anywhere of any children. Well, I was just about to post Mark 6 and verse 3, and then somebody got to answer it before I got there, so I left it alone. Somebody read Mark 6, verse 3 for us. Could you do that, please? Begins with this. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Anybody got it there? Of course, some of you aren't reading the right Bible. You'll have these newfangled translations. Mark 6, verse 3. You're still looking it up. These iPads are not nearly as fast.
Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are we not his sisters here with us? And they were offended.
Amen. So is this not the carpenter's son? He's the son of Mary. Well, that's Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. And he's the brother of James. He has four brothers listed. Simeon, Judah, Joses, James, and sisters. But Rome denies that this is true, even though the Bible says plainly it's true. He's got four brothers and sisters. I don't know how many sisters. But there's at least six children involved here. And so they say, no, she remained a virgin all her life. She remains a virgin. She was conceived as a virgin. She was conceived. The Holy Spirit conceived the Lord Jesus. She gave birth. And she was still a virgin after she gave birth. And she remained a virgin all her life. Now, let me ask you, is that the same Virgin Mary that you believe in? I don't believe in that Virgin Mary. That's a different Virgin Mary. They've created a different Virgin Mary. Now, this is only one of the many reasons I'm telling you I'm not a Roman Catholic. But you can't rely upon Rome for anything. Sure, they've created this fantasy about who Mary is, and I'm going to tell you more, and I'm going to quote you from their catechism. I'm going to tell you exactly what they say. This is a counterfeit Mary that they push and promote. And they say that she is a sinless mediator. And she is the cause of salvation. Salvation for herself and the whole human race. That's impossible. Brother Miles, you're making that up. Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, if you want to know anything they believe, they have it out in the open. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 494, talking of Mary, she gave herself entirely to the person and to the work of her Son. She did so in order to serve the mystery of redemption with him and dependent on him. She was right there involved in redemption. Is that the Mary you believe in? Or is that a fabricated Mary? Now, you see, this is not just doing disservice to her. This is doing disservice to Jesus. Did he need anyone helping him in redemption? Is that the Jesus you believe in? I don't believe in that Jesus. I say they preach another Jesus, another gospel, and they have another spirit. Oh, and I can hear people listening to me getting mad and saying they're nice people. Listen, I know they're nice people. Oh, you hate Catholics. How can you say that? Most of my life has been spent in Roman Catholic evangelism, trying to reach precious Roman Catholics with the gospel. I don't hate Roman Catholics, but I surely despise that religion because of what it does to Jesus. I'm jealous for my master. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. And so there are four dogmas of the Virgin Mary. I've mentioned one of them, but the first dogma that they hold about the Virgin Mary is the perpetual virginity of Mary. And that's expressed in three parts. In her virginal conception of Christ, number one. In number two, in giving birth to Christ. And number three, her continuing virginity after birth. Okay? So she was conceived, she was a virgin, we accept that. Then she gave birth to Christ, we accept that, and remained a virgin, we will not accept that. And she continued to be a virgin all her days. Absolute nonsense. Then the second dogma is Mary is the mother of God. And this was defined in the Council of Ephesus in the year 431. And I have a certain sympathy for it because they're trying, if I'm going to be generous to them, I'm going to say that they were trying to make a statement on the deity of Christ. And anybody who will stand up for the deity of Christ in this day and age, or in any day and age, well, I'll shake hands with them. Except they could have used better language. They could have said, she's the mother of he who was God. You see, she's not the mother of deity. She's the mother of the humanity of Christ, but not the deity of Christ. The deity of Christ has always existed. He's eternal. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning. When was that? We don't know. But if you go back to it, Jesus was already there before the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word didn't come into being at the beginning. He was in the beginning. He is the beginning. He's before the beginning. So it's very difficult to say Jesus or Mary is the mother of God. Sympathy I have, yeah, but it's not right. She's the mother of he who was God. And then they go even farther. In 1854, they began, or they dogmatized the doctrine which says that Mary herself was conceived immaculately. Jesus was conceived immaculately without a human father, and so was Mary. Are you serious? Yeah. Is that the Mary you believe in? That she was immaculately conceived? Do you believe that, not Mary? Is that? And that's why I say this is another Mary. It's not, you know, there's another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. Why should we be surprised that what they're teaching on Mary, who's blessed among women? And then in 1950, Pope Pius XII, he defined this dogma, the assumption, bodily and soul, body and soul, the assumption of Mary into heaven. Yeah, how about that? And you say, well, they've always taught. No, they've only had that as a dogma since 1950. That's not a long time ago. So anyway, in the Catholic Catechism, paragraph 966, finally the Immaculate Virgin preserved free from all stain of original sin. See, Mary had no original sin because she's immaculately conceived. You say, it's amazing what you can do and come up with when you just make it up. When you don't have a Bible to guide you and you don't take the authority of the Bible, you can make up anything. And that's what they've done. Said Mary was without sin, original sin. And when the course of her earthly life was finished, she was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory and exalted by the Lord as queen over all things. How about that? Queen over... Oh, who's the king of all things? Jesus. And now they've made Mary queen of all things so that she might be more fully conformed to her son, the Lord of lords and conqueror of sin and death. The assumption of the Blessed Virgin is a singular participation in her son's resurrection and an anticipation of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or resurrection of other Christians. And then it says, in giving birth, you kept your virginity. In your, oh, this is a quotation of, I want to be quite accurate here, of the Eastern Church. In your dormition, which is the same as ascension, you did not leave the world, O Mother of God, but were joined to the source of life. You conceived the living God, and by your prayers you will deliver, listen, by your prayers you will deliver our souls from death. And that is quoted by the Roman Church in their catechism. By your prayers, you want to be saved? You need Mary praying for you. Mary will deliver your souls from death. And so the exaltation of Mary by the Roman Catholic Communion is completely unfounded in Scripture. Outside of the gospel, or the gospels, Mary's name is mentioned one time. Outside of the gospels. Mary once, and that's when she's praying with her other children, at least the brothers anyway, and the other believers in the upper room. Acts chapter 1 verse 14, you can take a note of that. And I'll just tell you what it says. These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Mary was just part of the church. She was there praying in anticipation of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. She was there as a dependent believer. She wasn't there as, I'm going to be the queen of all things. Not just the queen of heaven, the queen of all things. Is this the Mary you believe in? Is this the Mary you hold to? And when it comes to the gospel, there's just sparse information about her. There's a few references, but only a few references to Mary. The first one, of course, is in Luke with the Annunciation. And then, remember that? Let's turn over to Luke and chapter 1, verse 47. Do you remember the story how Gabriel comes and says, thou art highly favored, you know, and she makes the Annunciation. He announces that she's going to bring forth a son. She says, how can this be? Saying that, seeing I've never known a man, I've never had sexual contact, intercourse with a man. And I said, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse 47, after this Annunciation, she begins what we call the Magnificat, and she's praying and praising. And what does it say? It says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." I hope it says that in your version. "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Let me ask you a question. Who needs a Savior? Sinners. Thank you. Sinners. Mary, by her own admission, is a sinner. "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." But Rome says she never sinned. She was conceived without sin. She lived sinlessly. Well, the second mention is John chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Would somebody read that, or else I'll read it? I'd prefer somebody else. John 2, 1 to 5. Anybody got it there? Brian, you got it? No, you haven't got it yet. John 2, excuse me, 2, 1 to 5. All right. This is at the wedding feast of Cana. I'll read it. "The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." So that's Mary. Mary is at this wedding. "And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Jesus was invited to the wedding at Cana, along with his disciples. "And now the wedding guests wanted wine. And the mother of Jesus," that's Mary, "said unto him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said unto her, 'Woman,'" which sounds kind of bad in the King James, but it actually was a very polite greeting in those days. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not come." What Jesus is saying is, this isn't my wedding. My hour is not yet come. I have a wedding. It'll be my wedding. That's the wedding feast of the Lamb. That's the one I'm in charge of. This is not my... Why you ask? You go to the people whose wedding it is. And so, "My hour is not yet come." "And his mother," that's Mary, "said unto the servants, 'Whatsoever he says unto you, do it.'" That is what's called the gospel according to Mary. If you're witnessing to anybody, remember that. That's the gospel according to Mary. What is? Here it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. "Whatsoever he says to you, do it." That's a good gospel, isn't it? That's a good message. Mary's message. "Whatsoever he says to you, do it." And so, there's Mary at the Annunciation. There's Mary admitting that she needs a Savior. There's Mary saying, "Whatsoever he says unto you, do it." The next time is that we find Mary in the Scriptures is when she and the brothers of Jesus desired to talk to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus responded in a, well... Let's look at it together. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. And since everybody is very shy tonight, Matthew 12, 46 to 50. We'll hear this. "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren," that's his brothers, "stood outside, desiring to speak with him." So here we see, Mary is mentioned here. Mary is there. Okay. "Then said one unto him, 'Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside, desiring to speak with you.' But he answered and said unto him and told him, 'Who is my mother? Who are my brothers, my brethren?' And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, 'Behold, my mother, my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother.'" Hey folks, it doesn't seem to me that Jesus had any plans of exalting her to being queen of all things. That was never in the cards according to the teaching of Jesus. Does she appear anywhere else? Well, yes. There's a big crowd. This is in Luke 11, verse 27 to 28. Luke 11:27 to 28, the woman in the crowd calls the mother of Jesus blessed. But Jesus doesn't affirm her. No, far from it. Luke 11:27. I'm taking you, and normally I just quote these scriptures, but I'm taking you to them so that you see what I'm saying here. Verse 27, excuse me, came to pass as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the woman that bare thee. That's Mary they're talking about. And the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There's no exaltation of Mary coming from the lips of Jesus. Of course he loved his mother. Of course he was good to his mother. But he was making it very clear that there's no ecclesiastical superiority from Mary or for her reserved. But the Roman church ignores this. They don't care what the scripture says. It's what they say. What they say, and they say, oh my goodness. Roman popes or pontiffs have created a Mary that shares the divine attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say she was conceived without sin. She lived a sinless life. She was bodily assumed into glory. She is now the mediatrix. Do you know what a mediatrix is? That's a female mediator. She is the mediatrix of all grace. She is our advocate and now reigns as queen of all things, especially queen of heaven, alongside the King of Kings. Is that the Mary you believe in? Folks, some people wonder why teaching these things. If somebody came down here on the main street and opened up a church and said, I believe that when I speak with full authority, I'm infallible, I can't make a mistake, and started teaching all the dogma of the Roman Church, you would say, that person is crazy. In fact, I put an article on my website under the Roman Catholic section. It's called, I can't remember what it's called, the Bubba and Herschel Letters, or Dear Blessed Virgin Mary. It's one of those two things. It deals with, people setting up shop and claiming the teachings of Rome. You would actually think they were nuts. But here we have evangelicals running over to Rome and kissing the Pope's ring and saying, we're all one, we're all one, we all believe the same. What? Are you crazy? I had a man tell me last week that this is wrong to be teaching this, wrong to be teaching this. You don't teach this. This is divisive. You shouldn't teach this. The Roman Catholics are Christians. Shouldn't do this. This is a man who's a professed believer. They're Christians. If I had thought of saying it, I would have said it then. But I said, well, the reason I'm teaching, you are the best illustration of why I'm teaching these things. Because you evidently were never taught what Rome teaches. And now you're running hand in hand with them. And you say that you're a Christian, you're a believer, a Bible believer. Anyway. You say, but Brother McKee, that was all a long time ago. Oh, do you think so? Just a few weeks ago, Pope Francis declared, the Immaculate Virgin becomes the sublime icon of divine mercy. The divine mercy that conquered sin. He calls her the Mother of Mercy. Mary, Mother of Mercy. And then he said, nothing is sweeter than his mercy. See, here's the thing with the lies of Rome. There's always a part of them that sound right. But that line isn't the poison. But he makes this poisonous statement, a lethal statement for those who swallow it. He says, nothing is sweeter than his mercy. Let ourselves be caressed by God through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, may mercy take hold of our hearts and transform our whole life. How does mercy take hold of your life? Through Mary. That's not from the Middle Ages. That's a few weeks ago. And so the idolatry associated with the Catholic Mary is evident in many ways, but primarily in this ungodly practice of praying to her. I believe prayer is one of the most intimate forms of worship. When you're praying to God, it's a form of worship. And because when you're praying, you're acknowledging the person is divine that you're praying to. And there's a divine person, to a powerful divine power. And this is why in the Bible we never see any God-fearing man or a woman praying to anyone other than God. That just nobody would even think of it in the Bible. And yet thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Roman Catholics pray to Mary, asking for her help. Now, wait a minute. Do you mean, Brother Miles, there are people here in Ireland praying that? Yes. Let's consider a Sunday morning Mass, okay? What about people who go to Mass in the north of Ireland? Yes, yes, they pray to Mary. What about the ones in Scotland? Yes, they pray to Mary. England? Yes, they pray to Mary. What about the people over in the rest of Europe? Do they pray to Mary? Yes, the Roman Catholics are over there. What about in America? Yes, they'll be praying to Mary, and all through the day they'll be praying to Mary. And in South America, a lot of Catholics there, are they praying to Mary? Yes, they're praying to Mary. What about in Australia? Yes, they're praying to Mary. Yes, in Australia, yeah. How in the world does she hear all those prayers from all those different areas? She has to be omnipresent. She has to be. There's no way that she can hear all those prayers unless she's omnipresent. But only God is omnipresent. But they have exalted her to this position of deity. Now, they haven't yet said it, but that's what she's, according to them, functioning. She's omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And yet, she was only a human being. And the issues of Roman Catholics praying to Mary and to the saints, we throw them in too. It's just full of confusion. Why is it confusion? Because if you ask any priest about praying to Mary, he will say, if he knows his stuff, oh, no. No one worships Mary. No one prays to the saints. No one prays to Mary or the saints. Now, I'm confused. What do you mean no one does pray to them? They said, oh, no. We ask Mary to pray for us. That's all we're doing. We're asking, well, wait a minute. Is asking Mary to pray for you, is that not praying to Mary? Of course it's praying to Mary. And we ask Mary, this is the official position, to pray for us, and that's their official position. They ask the saints, they ask Mary for prayers. And they say, but sure, that's no different than asking anybody else here on earth to pray for you. Haven't you asked people to pray for you? Well, yes, that's true, I have. Absolutely have, I've asked people. But we'll get into that in a second. There's different forms of worship, they say. There's dual-A worship and all different kinds of things like this. But just ask a little soul who's... Well, I've witnessed the people and they say, yeah, I'm in terrible trouble and I've been praying a lot about it. Well, who are you praying to? Say, well, the Blessed Mother. I'm in terrible trouble. I mean, the way it works out practically is they're not praying to Mary to pray for them. No. They're asking her to intercede with God, whatever the case. And so, none of this is any basis in the Bible. We're never told to pray to anyone other than to God. Never. Absolutely not. And no Bible nowhere encourages or mentions about us praying to anybody else. You say, but you ask people to pray for you. I've never asked a dead person to pray for me. Never. don't intend to start either. Well, why do so many pray to Mary and the saints and request their prayers? Because Mary is regarded, and the saints are regarded, as intercessors. They are our intercessors, according to Rome. They believe that a saint who is supposedly in heaven has more direct access to God than us. Can you see where this is starting to swerve from the gospel again? There's another gospel. There's another Jesus. I have direct access to God. You have direct access to God. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says to come boldly to the throne of grace, receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Let us come boldly with freedom of speech. Don't have to go through some saint, supposedly, or Mary, or anyone. We are to go through the Lord Jesus straight to the throne of God. But Rome declares Mary to be the mediatrix of all graces, the female mediator. But the Bible clearly says in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there is one mediator. How many mediators are there? One. Is that coded language for two? Is that complex symbolism? What does one mean? Does it mean one? There's one mediator. That doesn't take a lot of mathematical genius to find out how many mediators there are. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so there's only one who can mediate, and there's not two. If Mary is the mediatrix, then there's two. But the Bible says there's one. And since Jesus is the only mediator, it means the saints have no mediation. Mary has no mediation. They cannot pray for us and bring our requests to God. And furthermore, the Bible tells us that Jesus himself is praying for us before the Father. Hebrews 7 and verse 25 says, therefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Folks, if you believe the Bible, you have no need for Mary to pray for you. Now, we are not going to go out with banners and placards saying, down with Mary, down with Mary. No, we have great respect for her. But she would be horrified to see what they've done with her. We don't need any other intercessor. We've got our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom would the Father listen to more closely than he listens to the Son? What possible need do we have for Mary? None. But, as mentioned, Roman Catholics argue that praying to Mary and the saints is no different from us praying here on earth, asking somebody to pray for us. Well, let's examine that claim. Yes, Paul asked people, we're not going into all the scriptures, we want to check them out. Ephesians 6 and verse 19, Paul talks about praying for them. And there's 2 Corinthians 1:11, there's Ephesians 1:16, there's Philippians 1:19, 2 Timothy 1:3, I'll go through those again for those taking notes. 2 Corinthians 1:11, Ephesians 1:16, Philippians 1:19, 2 Timothy 1:3. But even though we can ask people to pray for us, or people can pray for us, as I said, the Bible nowhere mentions anything about asking anybody who is dead to pray for them. The Bible nowhere describes any dead person praying for anyone on earth. And whenever the Bible mentions praying or speaking with the dead, it's usually in the context of sorcery, witchcraft, necromancy, divination, all activities which are censored and banned by the Bible. You can check that out, Leviticus 20, verse 27. Or if you want to look at Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 13. Leviticus 20, 27, Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 13. Listen, God doesn't answer prayer based upon who's praying. God answers prayer based upon whether they are asked according to his will. 1 John 5, 14-15, listen to this. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, if we ask anything, who does the asking? We do the asking. Who do we ask? God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Who hears us? He does. Who is he? God hears us. Not Mary. It isn't Mary who hears us. It isn't the saints who hear us. And we approach the throne of grace boldly. So there's absolutely no basis or need to pray to anyone other than God alone in the name of Jesus. There's no basis for asking those who are dead to pray for us. Only God can hear our prayers, and only God can answer our prayers. And no one in heaven has any better access than the Lord Jesus. And we have that access through him. Again, Hebrews 4:16. And so as Christians, we esteem Mary as blessed among women, but to ascribe divine powers to her and attributes to her is blasphemous and idolatrous. That is why I am not, as one of the many reasons, why I am not a Roman Catholic, nor will I be. And you may say I'm a bigot. I've only stayed with the scriptures. You see, you get very passionate about it. Yeah, and I hope you do. Don't you want to defend the honor of the Lord? Are you not offended by these things? Satan will use anything to persuade people to take their eyes off Jesus. Just as he deceived Eve with his cunning, he'll want people to take their eyes off the Lord Jesus. But God hates idolatry. And I'm never nervous about telling people to turn from God, or turn to God from idols, and to serve the living and true God. I'll leave you with one scripture, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 to 10. Paul talking to them, he says, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Listen, what's all statues all around the place? It's amazing the similarity between chapels and Hindu temples. They're all full of statues. Seriously. It says you turned from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Who did? Was it Jesus and Mary? No, it was Jesus who has delivered us from the wrath to come. So never be afraid to tell the truth about Mary, and that is the gospel truth this evening.
The love, the mystery.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about our ministry, go to milesmckee.com. Our church website is thegracechurch.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Miles's email is miles@thegracechurch.ie. If you'd like to support the work we are doing in Ireland and other parts of the world, you can click on the donate link on milesmckee.com. Don't forget to check out more sermons at sermonaudio.com. Until next time, slán agus beannacht libh.
Never have enough. Your perfect peace, your word of truth. I am here broken, giving everything to you.